And respect we offer to all, in times past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dutiyampi Tatiyampi Sabha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Dukkha, the noble truth of suffering. Dukkha Samudaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Dukkha Nirodha Gamini Patipada, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without a self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo Prajna Paramita Hridaya, homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the cankers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion, by compassionate aspiration that harms no one, by compassionate speech that makes for clarity, by compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret, by compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit, by compassionate endeavor that results in goodness, by compassionate mindfulness that proves this path, by compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts: the precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this recitation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 brave prohibitive precepts: not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so, not to take that which is not given, not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct, not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority, not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so, not to publish other people's faults, not to extol oneself and slander others, not to be avaricious in bestowal of the teachings, not to be angry, not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana, in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Dutiyampi tatiyampi sadha. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. For even to awaken from deep sleep and face the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness.
Thank you.
in the here to end suffering. If ending suffering is more important than anything, we will end suffering. If ending suffering is not more important than anything, we will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer, so we can drop that and end suffering. What shall we look at this morning?
I had an extraordinary life-changing workshop yesterday around I love you exactly as you are, and I've helped you be any way that you want to be. Mm-hmm. I just want to look at
one of those, one of our favorite reassurances around here.
Yeah.
There's so much in that. I love you exactly. There's nothing that needs to be fixed. Yeah. You don't need to be changed.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to help you be however, whatever you want to be. Yes. Accomplish whatever you want to accomplish. Be however you want to be.
Yes, mm-hmm. Right. And if there's anything that you want to be, it's not coming from a place of lack or that there's anything wrong with you as you are. It's just that complete sort of generosity, availability, and here to assist. Like,
right.
How do you want to be?
Right, because if I decide I want to run a marathon, it's not that there's something wrong with me that I can't run 26.2 miles today. Right? That's such an obvious example of it.
Yeah, exactly. And so the context of the workshop was that I was working on a work project and I was being trained on it.
Mm-hmm.
And I was aware of some conditioned stuff already going on around a belief that if you need assistance, it's because you're inadequate.
Yeah.
So
the very same thing recently that came up for me too. So the belief that if you need assistance, it's because you're inadequate.
And let's see. Receiving assistance means you couldn't do it on your own.
Mm.
So you could do it on your own. Mm. If you left me to do this work project, could life see how to do it?
Mm-hmm.
Eventually, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
But does that mean that you shouldn't ask for and receive assistance and that there isn't so much to be received in that?
Wow.
Right? It's not a duality.
Right, right. So that belief that if I need assistance, that means I couldn't have done it on my own. And seeing, now, can life inform through any of us? Absolutely.
Yes.
But just because that's so doesn't mean I can't ask for and receive assistance that might be really helpful.
Right, from a node of intelligence that has more experience with this,
right.
That has a different sort of skill set.
Mm-hmm.
And in that way, I saw kind of at the end of the day, receiving that makes me more useful rather than following the path of, well, of course life could work this out on its own eventually. I'm then sharing in that pool of skills in a way that I wouldn't if life had just been left to work it out on its own.
Yes. Yeah.
So it's breaking down that separation of the separate I over here, right, and others out there.
Mm-hmm. So part of what that also does is break down that separation of an I, and it really makes this person who's receiving the training
helpful and kind of part of that whole process instead of sort of staying separate and either, no, I can do it on my own, or fine, if I'm going to get assistance, then okay, then I'll take the assistance. You know, either in that there's something wrong with me, or there's something wrong with that, or with you, or however that goes. Mm-hmm. But in that, there's the separation is maintained.
Yes, yes, exactly. And it was wonderful how life kind of upped the stakes of this training by how it unfolded. That at the beginning of the project, I realized I'd missed a really important step in it, right? And at that moment, there was that place we often talk about as a choice point, right?
Yeah,
we see what happens, there's the kind of wave of feeling bad, to collapse that awareness and open this down to, oh my God, how did that happen? How did I?
We get
well, I recognize that moment where it dropped in, and to kind of go to processing how it happened as a control mechanism, right? As a self-hate process. It's like it's processing how I did the drug, right?
Yeah.
Well, it's processing what's wrong with me. So there was that, and I just saw the opportunity for it all to get collapsed into feeling really small and young and wrong and all of that. And I just looked out the window and saw a tree and did a I love you, tree. Do you love me? I choose unconditional love. I don't care. I choose unconditional love. And as kind of an external person was giving me information and I was aware of that kind of conditioned scramble, I just said to myself internally, I'm open. I'm open to learning. And it just gives me chills kind of to hear that out loud, because there's all of that ego voice in the head saying, I want to learn. I want to support.
The same one I predict. It's like, now let me look at how this happened. Let's break down how this, the stuff got missed.
And what I got to sort of touch into and experience is the authentic human being who is open to learning and wants to learn. Beyond that ego barrier of me, them, they must think I'm such an idiot or whatever, you know, all of that, all the things that close down learning.
Completely. And you know what's so beautiful about what you're saying is it sounds like the way you're describing it, that it's like realizing there is that openness. And so all I need to do is to choose it, to choose to tune into that, which is the same process as life will inform. Right? It's that same thing. So, okay, there is a conditioned process, and it's really a commercial for knowing the nuances of how conditioning happens for each of us. Right? Because I project that's the only way you would have had that choice point right there. If you know, okay, that is super familiar. And I know the nuances of that, and I know where it's going. And I know where it's heading. I know the train wreck that's going to be at the end of that. I don't particularly want that. And so it gives me that, for me, it's the 20 seconds of courage. To just go, I choose openness. I love you, tree. Do you love me?
And
not go to the feeling bad, because that feeling bad is so, it feels like what we have to do, but to realize we don't.
And all the sensations of that that go along with that as well, kind of rocketing around, and just to stay still and choose to keep the attention here instead of allowing it to be pulled to that train hurtling down the track. And it was like it was at the end of the day, it dropped in, that was an experience of I love you exactly as you are, and I'll help you be any way that you want to be. And it's like an experience of living into that process, where there was an experience of receiving information from an experience of, so, you know, I was being offered information and training and tips and suggestions. There was an experience of receiving that from adequacy, like being completely enough. And grow that grown-up, conscious, compassionate awareness, and start in the spine. And I'm so open to learning. I love it. You know.
Yes. Exactly, mm-hmm. exactly. And, you know, what I saw when you laid that out is, and we're always in that process that you're describing, and we're somewhere in it. So, you know, this recording will go out to however many people this recording, and we're all each having our experiences, we're listening. And, you know, there could be that place of, like, knowing exactly what Anne's talking about and feeling like, oh, it's not available to me.
Uh-huh.
And that's the same process
uh-huh.
in the sense of, I love you exactly the way you are.
Yes.
And I'll help you be however you want to be.
Yes.
So if you're hearing that and that's resonating for you, it's not that there's anything wrong with you now and the reactions that you have now. Like, gosh, I don't really feel like I'm able to be open to the learning in that way that she's describing.
Right.
But it's simply the same process of there's nothing wrong
and
there's a resonance with that.
Yes.
Let's practice that. I'll help you practice that.
Yes, absolutely. It's where I go when I hear that is you can relax completely.
Exactly. Completely trust. I am exactly where I need to be.
Yeah.
And you know, the thing that's tricky about it is, to me, it's much easier to see that when we're in the place you're describing. When you've had a day where you realize, wow, it really is possible not to feel bad. And, you know, I really did do one of those things that I'm supposed to really feel bad about, right?
Yeah.
Because that's the other thing. It's just a day where it's all working and it's shiny and sunny and I feel great and I feel expansive, and that's one thing.
Right.
Then to feel expansive in the place where I'm not supposed to,
yeah,
that's huge.
Right.
And to keep that perspective on the days where, actually, I don't feel particularly expansive, right?
Well, absolutely. And because, I mean, if you'd have asked me, like, if you'd have asked me how I was doing or how I was feeling in that moment when I realized I'd missed that step, it wouldn't have been shiny.
No.
It was like, the energy that is available now is like, because it was like moment by moment, like when it feels like a slog or a heavy choosing, and the voice is right there available to check in about whether it's working or not, and it isn't. And how many times, and all of that, it wasn't like shiny and,
right.
you know,
sparkly and,
oh, how wonderful. Oh, I get to choose now.
I'm so glad I missed that show.
Exactly. It's like, you know, and because that was part of it too, like, aware of a lot of identification with conditioned mind, like, it really feels like it's me thinking in here. To be in that place with that too, like, I love you exactly as you
exactly.
are, I'll help you be any way that you want to be, there's nothing wrong with this. I was actually, because I was kind of caught in that, where it feels small and like there's something wrong with me that this is happening.
Mm-hmm.
And I was aware of what it feels like to be in that place, and I picked up the recorder and I started asking my heroes, what did you do when you were identified?
Mm-hmm.
What was it like?
I'm just thinking of
Gandhi,
yes.
Bankai,
yes.
Dogen,
yes.
All the gang.
Yes.
Like, what did you do when you got in there? And they all, because it's like when you're open to receiving that assistance,
yeah.
the intelligence that animates
yeah.
will, like, take on all those flavors.
Completely.
And you're like, Bankai was like, sometimes I was sitting on that rock, he's famously sat on a rock meditating till his bottom got bloody, and he was like, sometimes I sat on that rock and I'm like, what am I doing?
Right.
But it was
a waste of a life.
Bigger places.
Yeah.
I know where I'm going, and I'm not losing sight of that, so it doesn't matter. So all so it was like seeing through the lens of all of these heroes talking about what it was like for them when they were identified and what they did, and how there's nothing wrong. Because I think because when we're in that place, we can feel isolated, and
absolutely.
You know. However that goes for us, and to really see that from that big place, that it's a process, and there's there's nothing wrong with it. So
yes, exactly. There's a process, and there's nothing wrong with it. In that sense, the metaphor that was dropping as you were saying all that was, we sometimes talk about a movie.
Uh-huh.
So there's the movie of Gandhi's life, right?
Yes.
Or A Long Walk to Freedom, right?
Yes.
It's a long book, but it's still a book, right? Or you make the movie of Mandela's life,
yes,
or whatever, right?
Yes.
And you watch the movie, and it's just that, wow, oh, amazing. And I forget who the author was, but I always remember this author making the point, but it's still 3 hours,
yes,
right? Everything that he went up against, that moment by moment that you're describing,
yeah, right,
that, you know, sitting in that jail cell for the however millionth time, right? And that, I mean, what are we doing? Is this really going to make any difference? It's impossible to depict those moments in there. So I project it's exactly the same. So yesterday, you went through billions of those moments.
Yes.
And then today, the movie view is available.
Yes.
There's that, like, that broader picture.
Right.
And maybe that's the gift of maybe all of us, I don't know, but certainly the Gandhis and the Mandelas and, you know, people who stick with something that's really hard, is maybe the movie is that broader awareness that never gets lost.
Mm-hmm.
That thing you said Bankai was pointing at. You know, that place.
Sorry, Bankai.
Bankai. Through the life of coming through Anna. But that place of never losing sight.
Yeah.
Which we can guess must have been the case, because
right,
otherwise he would have gotten up and gone and done something else.
Right, right. It's like the context or the bigger place that it's all happening within.
Yes.
Or the place that we come back to, you know, again and again. But it was just wonderful that dropped in to pick up the recorder and ask them, like,
yeah,
I'm feeling
cool.
Really, like, oh,
yeah.
What did you do when you realized that? What was it like? Because we know that it was.
Yeah. Which is another commercial for practicing for a long period of time, because that's where I project we get to. We know it had to be, right? Because otherwise it can feel like, no, it wasn't. They're different than me.
Right.
You know, it must have been easy, or they just had the ha-ha, or whatever it is.
Yeah.
But we know, you know, from our own experience and from seeing so many people sit in this room with us and in rooms like it, everyone goes through their version of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Rebecca.
Well, so my version of that, same, you know, seeing so much in that. But the particular version that I have been looking at is around the heartbreak of seeing people we love choose their karma over and over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And what's going on is that there's this way that I can so see, because it's somebody I've known since she was a baby.
Mm.
And they were in lots of people. It's not just this one person,
right,
but this is the one that's
a good
for me now.
Kind of clear example. Of
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I could just point out so clearly what would be helpful.
Uh-huh.
And knowing that there's not an openness to that.
Uh-huh. So a sense of someone you've known her entire life, you know, since she was a baby, and you can see what feels like would be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And with that, a sense that there's not an openness.
Yeah.
To that.
And reading the communication book, I noticed that the same feeling, same kind of heartbreak happens, because it is so beautiful.
Mm.
And there's so much in that.
Mm-hmm.
Such a clear path, helpful path to clear communication.
Mm-hmm.
And knowing that, you know, maybe a few thousand people will read that.
Right.
And maybe a few hundred of those will even, you know, I don't know.
And maybe three will stick with it.
Exactly.
You know, whatever it is.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's just that, and you know, so normally I would go, those things would come up, and I would go to a place of everyone's adequate to their lives.
Mm-hmm.
When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
Mm-hmm.
We're all fine, all is well, exactly as it is. There are all kinds of truths and adages that we have that point to that deep okayness with it all.
Right. And that normally, I think what you're saying is you would normally go to that place.
Yes.
Everyone's adequate to their experience. When the student is ready, the teacher will appear.
And that is all deeply and profoundly true. And what seems to be available now for whatever reason is feeling the heartbreak.
So what seems to be available now with it is to actually feel the heartbreak.
Yeah. That is a very different experience than, I really want to tell her this so that she'll get it. It's not that at all. I mean, I am, you know, I'm perfectly delighted to be in the facilitator role, and I think over time I've worn away a lot of that. I've got to fix her karma, you've got to hear this. It's not that. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've been there and can visit there a lot still, but that's not what's here now is something different.
Yeah. So really being able to experience the heartbreak feels like a very different place than, I've got to tell her. I've got to, because I really can be helpful here, and I got to find a way in, or however that. But the place of just being with the heartbreak feels really different.
Yeah. And I don't know this yet from my own experience, but I intuit that there's something about the willingness to let the heartbreak be that will make me more useful. You know?
Yeah, it does. It feels related to the first conversation in the sense of the willingness to trust the process for this person. And that with practice, we learn to be still, to be with, to hold, however you want to say that, whatever that is.
Yeah.
And right now, there's experiencing the heartbreak, and that intuition, that being with that, is what will perhaps, you know, you said, make this person more useful. What's the word? Yeah, useful.
Yes.
And which is really different than helpful, isn't it?
Oh, that is such a good point. That is such a good point, yeah. And the critical training that has taken place over the years to facilitate that seems to be the continual focus on process instead of content. Because all, you know, for a long time, well, I mean, this past week, there's been a lot of talking in the conversation around all of this clarity that, when she was a baby, and then, you know, and then I am, and it all adds up, you know, all of that on a content level. And then there was the, it was love for her to be able to see this and blah, blah, blah. So there's all this content stuff going on. Meanwhile, I'm watching the process of it all as well. I'm holding it all in the larger field of awareness. And there's a sense that, what is this for me? All this is for me.
Yeah, that's all right.
This is for me. And then, when through recording and listening, when one of the sadnesses crept up and got to be voiced and felt, there was the ding. I think this is what's for me. You know, it was just sort of that. I think this is somehow it.
This is the gift that there is in it for me. Oh, that's a lovely process. Yeah, because as you were saying that, you're like, all these pieces coming together, and it's so subtle, because if the awareness wasn't expanded enough, then it kind of becomes, it feels like it's all about her, this other person, right? But meanwhile, as that's happening, the awareness is expanded to the whole process. And so it kind of becomes a, we often say everything's a projection, right? So it's not, well, this part's about me and that part's about her and that, but the whole, all of the attention is on process. And with that, that sense of it's all for me.
Yeah. And just one last point that just dropped in. Well, it dropped in again as you were saying that, is to tie it in with the attachment workshop I've been doing for some months now, or letting go attachment workshop. That's just so fun. I project that none of this would have been possible had there not been a conscious intention to look at and let go attachments, because there's a way that with attachment it closes any aperture to seeing any, there's no space to see any of this process at all.
Oh, that's such a good point. That's so my experience. So that you've been in this letting go attachment workshop, and it feels like that has informed opening, allowed the aperture to open, which has allowed all of this other, what's been going on in the last week, to really reveal itself.
Mm-hmm. Which is kind of all boils back to that we are so well cared for.
So well cared for. And just, you know, that place that we talk about, you know, really our only, all we're really, quote, doing is getting out of the way. Right?
Yeah.
And so that process can just happen.
And I want to end on that, but I've got to just do a quick commercial for something in the communication book.
Okay.
Two, those illustrations are just like books in themselves.
Uh-huh.
They are, and there's two that I could just read those illustrations for hours. And one is the one where the girl is sitting there looking, and she's here and then gone. Uh-huh. It's on the page on compassionate communication. I just want to point people to that. It is just too beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And the other is seeing through the karma instead of seeing the karma.
Mm-hmm.
Those two illustrations just take, for me, they just took me to that place and truly have been the teaching, I think, that facilitated that. Because I've been really sort of fixated on those lately.
Uh-huh.
And I think they were so helpful in facilitating this particular workshop as well.
Yeah, almost like it speaks to us on another level.
Yeah.
Gives us a different way in, kind of.
Yeah, nonverbal. The picture worth 1,000 words.
Yeah,
kind of
that's what we're talking about.
Nonverbal just takes me right there.
Yeah.
Oh. And then plus just the delight. So I just wanted to weave that in, because it feels like a really, just a beautiful gift within the gift of the book itself.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I'm not really sure what I'm going to say, but I just want to say I'm so inspired and by this conversation.
Mm.
And I was, I get to live here, which is amazing. And so this morning I was sitting in my hermitage, looking out at these trees and listening to this guy, Thomas Verhoeven, who I haven't listened to before in a while. And he's just kind of going on about how magnificent it is to be alive.
So you were listening to a recording about how magnificent it is to be alive.
Yeah, and how almost none of us get to experience that.
Right. Think, of course, we think we are. I mean, what else would we be experiencing? I mean, here I am, I'm alive, and I smell things, and I hear things, and I see things. But not realizing how deeply we're in a conversation in our head, which prevents us from having actual direct experience of living.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And as you're saying that, I think one of the most amazing things is to know the difference. To really watch, like you were just explaining or demonstrating, that we're living in a conversation in our head.
Yeah.
And somebody could say that to you, and it's like, okay.
What conversation?
What are you talking about?
I'm not living in a conversation. How can you say I'm living in a conversation?
Yeah.
I mean, he's such a... God, people are so... I don't know why they're...
Weirdo, yeah. What conversation? That one. But you know, you have to have your own experience of that.
Yeah.
Really, like your direct experience of that as well.
Yes, absolutely. And which goes back to the compassion I particularly looking at with Rebecca, which is that truly, I mean, God, we can see this from our own experience. We really do need to have our own experience of it, right?
Yeah.
Someone can say it to us over and over and over, which is helpful, because I project it plants the seed and tilts the soil of allowing that us to see that, but we really do have to have our own experience of realizing it.
Right, because when people say it over and over again, then it has a chance to land with authenticity. Because authenticity, you know, you were talking about earlier, the intelligence that animates or life living or Buddha nature, however we talk about that, already knows that.
Yeah.
It's just that sometimes it has to work its way through all that layer of conversation to actually be registered.
Yes.
And then we are that which registers that.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's like, you know, at least my experience is, wait, what was that again?
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a little bit of a window.
Yeah.
And now you can go, why, I feel like I keep hearing that thing about the conversation in my head.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now you're...
Open. This is what they're talking about.
Yeah. Now you're hearing more people talk about that, and then you're trying it on for yourself, and then, oh. And so a lot of the magnificence of being alive is seeing that that's what's gone on most of my life, and still goes on a lot, and that there's another option.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's amazing. Mm-hmm. In a lifetime, to know there's a... First of all, to know that's going on.
Yes.
That we're essentially, as was being said, looking through the conversation as a lens.
Yeah.
And then from that place, everything that is being seen and experienced makes sense to that conversation.
Yeah, so just briefly, if we give an example, if we go back to what Anna was talking about, if I'm seeing through the conversation and not realizing that's happening, so let's say the conversation is around, like, you know, you obviously can't be trusted to do this on your own.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you were good enough to do this, then, you know, you'd be able to do it on your own. And the fact that you need assistance means that then everything that, every way that people interact with me,
yeah,
is going to be seen,
yeah,
from that. It's not going to be seen as helpful. It's not going to be seen as loving. It's not going to be seen as, you know, wanting the best for... It's not going to be seen as any of that. It's going to be seen as a threat and,
yeah,
you know, whatever it is,
yeah,
for that person.
Yeah.
But that's an example of what you're talking,
yeah,
about, of when we're in the conversation, don't realize it, it colors everything,
yeah,
that happens in our world. Whereas when we let that conversation go, it looks completely different.
Yeah.
It feels like, wow, people really care about me. They really want to assist. They're,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
it feels so different.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we all relate. I mean, another example that dropped in when you were saying that is, you know, someone we love that around a lot,
mm-hmm,
and we get really upset about something, you know, maybe it's in relationship to that person, and all of a sudden, you know, no matter what, you know, that little eyebrow raised or the tone of their voice,
yeah,
is confirming,
yeah,
you don't care about me,
yeah,
or you did
I
that.
I knew it.
I knew it. You did it on her and everything, and then we have the experience of somehow popping out of that at,
mm-hmm,
some point, and then again, seeing the person that we really love, that they're actually on our side,
right,
and they were like, whoa, where was I?
Right.
That I had such a different experience of,
yes,
someone that I choose to be around because they,
right,
love me and I love them.
Right, right, exactly so, yeah.
So I have no idea where I was going with all of that, but just the miracle of being able to be shown that process, to experience it, and then to find, as was being described, ways to train,
mm,
to be outside of that conversation where everything else is, it really is, and then Sherry has used like a big, huge piece of white paper, and that's all that is. And then that conversation is this tiny little pen dot,
mm-hmm,
right on there. But when you don't know that, and all the attention is on that pen dot, that's all you think that there is.
Which speaks to why that conversation, once you start to tune into it, you realize it's incessant.
It's a happy.
And it has, right, because otherwise you're
going
to notice, wait, that's tiny. Like,
yeah,
there's so much more around.
There's so much more around, yeah.
But that's a good point that you're making, that, you know, oh, okay, that's great. Get out of the conversation in my head.
Yeah.
Right? Easier said than done.
Well, that's an epic training.
So there's the, yeah,
yeah,
use the word training. So then we,
yeah,
start to train to do that. Because that's truly a, you know, however you want to talk, a skill, a muscle that needs to be built. It has to be trained.
It really does. And gosh, I mean, even training for a long time, it's like, I mean, I guess what's been happening recently is like, wow, there's a lot of conversation. I mean, essentially, if I'm not trained to be out of that conversation,
mm-hmm,
consciously,
mm-hmm,
in that moment,
yeah,
you can know I'm listening.
Yeah.
And it could be sort of, quote, benignly narrating.
Yeah.
It could be, you know, telling me how I'm doing something wrong, how I really need to improve.
Yeah.
Because, well, that's really helpful information, isn't it? To put someone down and tell them what they should do differently. Except for when you're not paying attention to it, it does seem like...
Right.
I mean, you should be told when you're doing something wrong and how to do it differently.
Right.
Isn't that good?
Right.
Well, not when it's in that kind of way. It's not.
Exactly.
Because the messages are all negative about the person.
That's right.
And I don't know about you, but when I'm in that, I'm not there to receive the information how to do it differently anyway.
Yeah.
And I'm in a feeling bad.
Right.
You know, or who are you? Or, you know, there's no openness as was being described.
Yeah. Yeah. And so, you know, that's why that check-in is always so good. Okay, so I'm aware now of how this works. Well, isn't that helpful that the voice is telling, you know, correcting me and telling me, okay, well, let's just try this on. Would I say this to my brother?
Yeah.
Would I say this to my friend?
Yeah.
Would I say this to one of my fellow residents at the monastery? No, actually, I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Unless I, you know, except for those places where we're completely, you know, being tortured internally, and so that spills out externally.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But it's that place of realizing, no, actually, this isn't helpful. Even if I wanted to assist someone to see something, I would not talk to them the way I'm being talked to internally.
Yeah.
That is not how I would go about it.
Exactly. I mean, we can just go to our own experience. You know, so... How best, you know, when there is information, you know, on something that you're doing, where do we seem to respond best to?
Yeah.
When it comes from, you know, criticism and judgment, or when it comes from support and encouragement?
Right.
So it's not like no to the information.
Right, exactly.
It's always the how of it.
Yes.
You know, and we go to our own experience and it's obvious.
Yes. Yeah, because isn't that the case where we all know the experience of I'm in an environment where I'm on a team that's supportive and we're doing this together. People tend to be really open to information, right? I want to learn. It's fun to learn.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I was looking at that yesterday too, very similar to what we were talking about, that we're so, it feels like for most of us as very young kids, learning is attached to inadequacy.
Completely.
So you have to be taught this because you don't already know it. Somehow you should, which is bizarre. How would we ever, right? But we're way too little at that point to go, you know what, that actually makes no sense at all. How would I know the capitals of the United States? I've never, right? Any of those things. But the fact that I have to be taught this, that's, I'm in a one down position.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, that natural place of like, wow, that's so cool. Oh my gosh. That's how that works. Like, these things float and these things don't. You know, I mean, you watch little kids left to their own devices. They're just constant scientists.
Yeah,
you know?
You're right. And I think what I heard in that first conversation, there's a way to access what's actually natural for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we've been conditioned out of like, oh, these things float.
How did they get out of that?
You know, into, oh God, I don't know why that floats. Don't say anything. Don't ask any questions. You know?
Well, and then, God, you can just see it, right? The trauma. I mean, then the kid sticks the to see, will mom's watch float, you know?
Yeah. Well, and if we want to know about the trauma, we can just go watch yourself, go try to learn something.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Be taught.
And then you know how you were raised and what you heard from the teacher and whoever.
Yeah.
I mean, as far as I can tell, that trauma is still going on until we interrupt it, which is what I love. I heard the little books. Sometimes I wish, like, when I hear people talk and I hear them say similar things over again, I'm like, oh, could you do a little book on, like, when you're in a really tough place and, like, those things that we really need to hear, you know, like, well, of course you feel that way, and, like, you know, totally on your side, or, like, these humorous responses in those places, or, like, in that first share, it's like, oh, that would be a fun little book on my own, too. And what I love about the kind of stuff I hear in here is that those kind of deep, it's not the shiny. It's not, I didn't just close my eyes and meditate and, it's rough, man. It's you know, we have a way of transformation in the
diamond. Exactly.
It's a firehouse.
Yeah.
You know?
A lot of gritty stuff in the middle that, quote, doesn't look pretty.
Yeah.
And that's such a good point, that if we can rewire to realize all of that stuff is fine. It's okay. It's even, you know, to get kind of California about it, it's beautiful in the sense that it is the part of the transformation. It's not only the pop out of it shiny part that's good. It's all of it.
And what makes the last thing I said, what makes it so beautiful, all of it. I mean, if it was just the shiny, that would be pretty, that wouldn't be all of it.
No.
And it would be dissatisfying on some level, you know, is the container of the relationship that I've been hearing this morning and that I've been practicing with, that we talk about being with. There's some kind of presence, some kind of support.
Yeah.
And we have these really concrete ways of doing that, you know, like the two-handed exercise where when you're struggling or feeling completely inadequate to fixing the sanha, you can actually talk about that on the recorder and actually talk about it. Like, how often do we get to say from our own experience everything we've ever wanted to say about it?
Yeah.
You know, and just let it rip.
Well, and for folks who are new to the recording and listening practice, there's an entire website on it.
Yeah,
right?
And on our recording and listening.org, there is the power tool, which is the two-handed recording. And
which is essentially the opportunity for those parts of us that get kind of dismissed, to talk about what's going on and to really be heard.
Yeah, dismissed, definitely, and just outright criticized and judged and hated.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, and so to talk in a way that gets it out of that relationship.
Yeah.
And brings it into, you know, there's several more steps, but essentially to be into a relationship of what I was saying before. Well, would you know, here's this information. Would you rather have it be critical and judgmental or supportive and encouraging?
Yeah.
Well, we get to train. We had the previous conditional training of the judgment and the criticism, and now we get to train into the encouragement and support, which brings us back to that authentic.
Yeah.
Whoa, but how did that sink?
Yeah.
You know, and then everything is available to us. As it always is, we just didn't know it yet.
Yeah. And again, similar to what we were looking at with Anna, that whole process is part of the same process.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, sometimes it's going to be more available to me to step into that larger compassionate place than others. And that's okay, too. That very large place of compassion, in my experience, holds all of it as completely okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that where it started. I love you exactly as you are.
Exactly.
I mean, that can just be used moment by moment.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm resonating a little bit with the heartbreak thing.
Yeah.
In a different context. I had a middle of this past week that we were at a Harvest Festival.
Uh-huh.
National Harvest Festival, and it was very fun. It was it was at the fairgrounds in another town, and so, you know, lots of booths and endless seeds and then a whole room full of, you know, tables twice as long as this room, just covered with vegetables and fruits.
Wow.
I mean, it was inspiring. Wow. It was very inspiring. Lots of speakers.
Mm.
So a couple things that I noticed, it's just something I've come to learn about how I learn, or how I like to be, or what happens in my energy system. So the first day was really fun and exciting and stimulating, and there's all these different, check them all out, you know, did the tourist thing of all the booths and all the tables and everything, and talked to some people and found some products would be good to have. And the second half day, same thing, and then it was like, done. You know, then the energy system just went, and there's just a sense of elevation.
Uh-huh.
And it's interesting because, and exhaustion.
Mm-hmm.
And yesterday, at home, I worked outside hard all day. I was shoveling things and building things, and at the end of the day, I was pooped, but it was totally different.
Yeah.
A great, you know, body wiped out. Feeling, but this happens to me anytime I'm basically a tourist.
Mm-hmm.
That innovation.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is why when I go on vacation, I need to walk or bike or something, because just sort of passively taking in information is exhausting. So I just noticed that.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, again, similar to, I mean, all the conversations really, but very helpful to be able to know ourselves in that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so then to be able to support, you know, this person, ourselves, but it almost is like supporting another person when we see it that way.
Right.
Support ourselves to provide what's helpful, what's supportive.
Yeah, kind of get to know what your energy does and kind of know what your thresholds are.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, but that was fun, and I brought back some good stuff, composted kind of stuff. And so that it was fun. But what was so interesting was the juxtaposition of the incredible abundance that was on display.
Mm.
In fact, they had the centerpiece was a pile of squashes in a pyramid as tall as the ceiling.
Oh.
You know, the squashes. and then these tables, everything. That kind of abundance. And then the speakers are all talking about, you know, insect collapse. You know, the end of the tillable agriculture, the end of agricultural land, the loss of topsoil, and
And
maybe we should save those quadrants for later. Maybe we should freeze them.
It's the same sense of watching humanity live out its karma.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it's so self-destructive. And somehow being willing to claim joy.
Mm, wow.
You know?
Within that.
Within that.
Or that being within, willing to claim joy.
Yeah, that somehow this is all encompassed in something way beyond what we understand.
That's true.
Yeah. That, you know, as we drive ourselves in cataclysmic ways in some ways into a kind of impoverishment of ourselves and everything else.
Yeah.
When such abundance is available,
yeah.
You can only say that that's that kind of, that's our human being karma, that's ego. And to somehow say, well, in the midst of that, there's nothing wrong.
Yeah.
That is so, and as I hear myself say that, it sounds bizarre.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
It just sounds bizarre. It used to sound silly and naive. It doesn't sound silly and naive. It just sounds bizarre.
Yeah.
But I feel like that.
Yeah.
And it's funny because one of the books I bought this great book on weather.
Hmm.
And because, you know, I go to vegetable festivals and buy books. Great book on weather. It's sort of the history of our understanding of weather and the history of the planet.
Huh.
And there, you know, 4.5 billion years. There have been times when the planet was literally just on fire, you know, in volcanoes everywhere. There were times when the whole planet was encased in ice. There were times when it rained for a million years. That's how we got oceans. So, you know, to think sort of in those terms,
yeah.
this is just a little epoch.
Yeah.
This is like a little tiny
talk about the speck on the big.
Yeah. And reading about that, realizing that, I mean, it's hardly even a pen speck that we represent,
yeah.
And to trust that somehow what is unfolding is simply unfolding,
yes.
And it has its own way, its own, yes, whatever rationale or not,
yes.
And we're just part of that, and
yeah.
We do the best we can,
yeah.
You know, we plant our own beans and peas, and we just do what we can, and do the best we can with our own land and our own,
yeah,
lives, and,
yeah,
and where we can make a contribution, you know, like, in my perspective, you know, say politically, that,
yeah,
it seems like it's positive, fine,
yeah. Yeah.
But to live within that tension,
yeah,
to live with the knowledge of how,
yeah,
scary things actually are, and,
yeah,
just say, that's karma playing itself out,
yeah,
and life is good,
yeah,
and I am good, and, that's how it is.
Hmm.
It's just interesting.
It's interesting. And, I mean, especially as you describe the, you know, and plant our own beans and do what we do in our land, it feels somehow exquisite to be able to have that skill, maybe, to be able to pay such close attention to this in the face of that and realize we don't know.
We don't know.
We know.
You know, planting the bean is like looking at the tree and,
yes,
saying,
exactly,
I love you, you love me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's...
Exactly.
It's connecting with what is right there right now.
Yes.
Which is always available anyway.
Right. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And even as life is imperiled by us, it loves us and is willing to support us as best it can.
Right. Exactly. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
It's miraculous.
It is miraculous. Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a... Actually, I've never seen that. It's kind of a metaphor of what practice offers to people, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, some of us are hell-bent on self-destructing, right? But if you don't want to, here's this possibility, you know? And such a deep sense that, I mean, I think this is a huge part of what originally drove me to spiritual practice, is to realize kind of that connection between political and spiritual, to realize if everyone on the planet had access to the process you're describing of being planting the seed and kind of, because I want to, because it comes from being here, so I move to do that, one senses we would have a very different, you know, kind of way of being on the planet. But that's not what we have. So, you know, it's not even that that's right or this is wrong, or it's just interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there are some big names here. Vandana Shiva was that, if you know, and she's an Indian woman who's insisting upon saving native seeds in the face of the Monsantos of the world. Some very inspiring people. And one of the things I also noticed about energy was part of right before I collapsed Wednesday afternoon, was we had heard this panel with the two of them. Mm. And they were very inspiring, and they'd taken on Monsanto and they'd beaten them in court, and that's really important. Wow. But I realized I think what happens is they get their energy all aroused and then there's nothing to do with it. So I think that part of the class was, I also recognize these people are real heroes in a big national, international way.
Yeah.
And I respect them, I'm inspired by them, and in my own way I try to do the same thing, and that's not who I am either. I'm not an international something. And that's okay too.
Right. And if hero is a process.
Yes. That's right. We're heroes in different places, in different places. And so to be okay with that also.
Yeah.
And then to say thank God for people like that.
Yeah. Well, God, that's a great point, honey, because that really would explain the energy collapse, wouldn't it?
I think that was part of it.
A piece of it. That's amazing, but I'm not that, Even though I'm guessing that's probably not said, but without realizing, well, I am that on a process level in the life that I am. It's like we've been talking about, we have that year-long retreat that we do, and we cycle through different focuses, and we've been talking about fitness, and people have been talking about that place of fit for my life.
Right.
It feels like that same process, fit for my life, the hero in my life, in this life.
I think that in that instance, it wasn't so much that the reaction was, I'm not like that, but just that there's an arousal energy that has no outlet.
And nowhere to go.
Because you're still in a touristy position.
Yeah.
But that, living with the fitness for one's own life and where the niche is, where life seems to be calling.
Yeah.
And thanking God for people who play a leading, starring role in the climate, and those of us who do kind of the other kinds of things that I'm doing in other places. It's the same phenomenon. It's the same sense of karma would like disappointment or chagrin or despair, and there's no need to go there.
No. Mm-hmm. There's the joy.
Okay. Well, that was wonderful. To see this as the human animal living out its karma, the collective animal, is just rather different from how I used to think about it. I can get pretty judgmental. I'm very fond of saying that we are freaks of nature, and that the planet will get rid of us pretty soon on that sort of geological scale.
Right, because, as Ben was pointing at, we haven't been here long. Where things go.
And if the planet has its way, we won't be here much longer.
Yeah.
And then, so looking at that, I think I can let that go. There's nothing wrong when I'm looking through the eyes of we are an invasive species. That's wrong. And then as I kept looking, it occurred to me, supposedly Buddha said that talking with this, the grief, hate, and delusion, kind of what ego lives by. It's never occurred to me that that's not wrong.
Right, it just is.
Yeah. And the first thing I think about is the Amazon burning. Or greed and delusion. And it's sad, it brings tears to my eyes. It's not wrong.
So it's kind of a heartbreak place that people have been pointing at, right? That, and those two things are not two sides of the duality. You don't have to choose between them, right? I can be in the heartbreak. That doesn't mean it's wrong.
Thank you.
And, you know, I wonder if there's a way in which, back to Rebecca's image of useful, if that heartbreak, which we could say is an open heart, were available to all of us, again, that might be really an interesting place. You know, it's so hard to talk about it, right? Because if that open heart were available to all of us, then we'd make the right decisions and we'd have the right world and we, right? But what if it's just, I mean, sometimes Sherry talks about, you know, are we, what's available to us is to make that choice. You know, it's just, it's set up, perhaps, so that we can make that choice, see that possibility and choose it.
It's that
anyone
can.
Right, exactly. Yes, that anyone can. Yeah. You know, this is on a much more kind of tangible, practical level, but I keep thinking about that George Carlin quote where he talks about, you know, his answer to World War is that everyone on the planet would be required to shake hands and look in the eye of everyone else on the planet and learn one thing about them. So that then, I think in the quote, if so then, you know, if we're going to go to war with the Indonesians, no, we can't do that. They're my friends. I know those people. It's that place where we have to be separate from something in order to treat it in a way that
Yes, because it's wrong.
Right. I mean, that's a good connection, too, because in my experience, when I go to those places of heartbreak and open heart, really seeing something, I can always see where it comes from. I can see how whatever that thing that I was judging, like, why do they do that? Why do they act that way? In that open-hearted place, I can see exactly where that comes from. Because I can see that version of what happens for me in that place, how I make a choice like that, which then self-hate wants to, you know, tighten around and say, well, see, you're just like that. But in the open-hearted place, to me, that's the place you're pointing at. That's the nothing wrong place. God, that's hard. It doesn't make it wrong.
Somebody else's actions and saying, I wouldn't do that. Mm-hmm. It's to be unaware of the fact that maybe not, maybe in a matter of degree, I'm not doing that, but I'm doing that.
Yep. So looking at someone else's actions and saying, you know, I wouldn't do that, realizing, yes. Maybe if we look at the everything on the content level, the degree, you know, of that. But if I look at it from that broader perspective, we can always see, at least I can, that process, how that process happens for me. I mean, surely, if nothing else, certainly how that the voice inside my head is doing that to me all the time. You know, Ashwini talks about the negation. You know, that voice, I mean, a lot of people have talked about it this morning, that voice in the head that's constantly negating our experience. And we're trained that way. to look at everything through that negation lens. So if something's happening that breaks the heart, it has to be someone's fault. Someone has to be wrong. Which, interestingly, you know, I think that's the place some people can get to. Well, yeah, I mean, it is wrong. And so, I mean, you've got to elect someone else, or you've got to you've got to go to court. Or it doesn't preclude that, right? So just because there's nothing wrong doesn't mean I'm not going to plant my own seeds. And there was such a good Peace quote about that recently that I can't even begin to quote. But anyone remember something about, like, I think it was a Peace quote. Basically, what I heard in it was, and that doesn't mean we won't take action. In fact, we probably, you know, if we're here and present, we probably will. That's a way butcher of it. Something like that. Yeah. Because we're moved to. Not because there's something wrong, but because we're moved to. Thank you all. Thank you.